Hello, everybody. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. It's always fun to be here live every Sunday afternoon. And if you are just joining us, welcome to Living the Good Life. We're going to have a great show today, 2-hour show, as always. And this is Pastor Marcia McAllister and my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, is right here beside me. And Nathan Burton's calling in after a while. I'm not sure when, but he will. All right. So we're just glad to be on the air with you today and share the word on this Mother's Day. Pretty cool.
Hey, very cool.
You have a daughter who's a mother.
Yes, I do.
Which makes you a grandpa.
Exactly. And I called her early this morning.
Uh-huh.
So. Talked with her, talked with my stepmom.
So. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I've heard from all three of my kids today and some of the grandkids. I talked to them yesterday, actually, so that was fun. And it's just good to be able to celebrate this beautiful Mother's Day. And is it hot in Clearwater today, or is it hot?
It is hot. So I think summer's about here. The only thing we're missing is the 99% humidity.
Oh, well, it's getting close.
It's getting close.
My truck's at 94 degrees this afternoon.
Yeah, it's hot.
I was driving.
It is hot.
Man, it's hot. So we're past those cool days of spring, and yeah, we're into our warm weather, and some of you may be in cooler parts of the country or another country, and your weather's not as good. So it is beautiful here. Come and visit us if you've never been to the Clearwater, Florida area. That's our home base for Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're in our 13th year, and our website will tell you all about us, and it is www.bohmglobal.com. And it also, you can access the website with beaconofhopeministries.com, which was the old email or the web address, but we kind of shortened it to make it easier. So www.bohm, which stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, global.com. So, Pastor Jim, it's just always a joy to be able to share the word. We have new listeners every week. We're hearing from more and more new people, and that's really cool.
It is. I was just going to say, we love that because, you know, sitting in the control booth, we don't have an idea
right.
of how many people are listening.
No, there's no way to know.
Yeah. So, if you are listening and you do enjoy the show, either if you're listening live or maybe you go to the website and listen to the broadcasts because they're all on there.
Yes.
Maybe listen to them later in the week or something. Email us. Let us
right.
know, you know, let us know that you're listening. I mean, that it's a joy to us to
right.
know that. And,
yeah, it is.
You know, just it's just cool.
Yeah.
It's just very cool.
A few months back, I had an email one day from, on a Monday, I think it was, from somebody in Arkansas. And she said she was on her way to the grocery store. And happened to, now that's when we were actually live in the Arkansas area, and now it's by the internet. And, but anyway, she was just saying how she just ran across it and became a listener. So pretty cool. So
yeah.
We welcome you to tell us my email address, which we have the internet up right now in the studio. Pastor Jim is here to be able to man it. So you may write us during the show, ask questions, comment if you like. And my email address that will come straight here to the desk is pastor@bohmglobal.com. Pastor Jim's is actually Pastor Jim at BOHMGlobal.com.
Imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that. All right. And Nathan will join us soon. So anyway, it's just fun to be able to spread the word of God, isn't it? Week after week.
It is.
It never gets old.
No.
I mean, I look forward to the show all week long. I just love to do the show.
And it's funny because of scheduling, I needed to fill in today instead of being on next week. And it's like, you know, pastor messages me and says, can you possibly do this? It's like, not a problem.
Yes. It's a joy.
I love doing this. So
it really is. And when I'm out of town from time to time, you host the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fun for you, too.
It is. Because this last time I actually made up my own CD of music.
Oh, you did?
That was the first.
Oh, cool. And so you got to plan. Because normally I have it here from... So we're excited, though. It's fun to be able to share the Word of God. The show is all about our slogan for the ministry, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because whether we are praying a prayer for someone, whether we are teaching a concept, it is all about the Word of God. That's what we're about. We are a Word-based, faith-based ministry. We believe in the full gospel. We are charismatic. By that, we mean we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit that operate still today. We believe that God heals our bodies, and we've seen many, many people healed, haven't we, PJ?
Amen. Amen. We've seen a number of people healed in response to the prayer of faith.
Right. Absolutely.
And I know that can kind of scare people, or maybe you've been taught that that stopped when John put the last period in the book of Revelation or whatever. But
which isn't true.
No, which is not true. And God said, you know, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What Jesus did.
Yes.
He's still doing.
Right.
I mean, he's still saving. He's still healing. He's still filling with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And it is, you know, in John 7, Jesus said that to wait for that, the Holy Spirit would just come like a river mm-hmm. within us, spring up like a well of living water. We're going to do the well later in this show. I love that song. But, you know, this whole concept of the Holy Spirit filling you and changing you, we are exploring more today and as always on the show. But just what happens when we submit to Jesus and let him lead us and guide us where we're going. So
never a dull moment.
Never a dull moment, is it? No. So I want to start the show with a song by Debbie Selby, and we've played this many times through the years. I got to say, this song is one of my favorites because it is talking about that river of life within us that needs to come out to other people that we encounter, those golden opportunities for ministry, which we'll mm-hmm. talk about today. River of my life.
River of my life, light upon my path.
Love that song.
Amen.
Woo, River of My Life, an old song, but it just says everything that Jesus is. You know, keeper of my heart, you know, my peace, my comforter, and just the keep, oh, I just love that, faithful comforter too, you know. So often we need comfort. This is Mother's Day of 2014. And some of you may listen to the show at a later time on our website, and that is fine. But we just want to send out greetings to the mothers out there, and that includes me and all of us that are privileged to be mothers, and some that have raised children. Maybe they didn't birth them, but they were still mothers. Mm-hmm. And so we give you a Mother's Day greeting today. And, you know, even in those parts of our lives where we are parents, where we have grandparents and all of that, the river of God's life through us is what really nurtures our children and our grandchildren. You know, PJ, it's more than just taking care of them, feeding them and clothing them.
Right, right. It's sharing our lives with them, the life that we have in Jesus.
Amen.
With them.
Yes.
I couldn't imagine trying to be a parent. I mean, I know people that do.
Right.
For me, I couldn't imagine having done even half of what I did without the help of Jesus.
Oh, it just, yes. Well, we're going to talk about a mother here in Luke chapter 7 who was in great agony and great pain. There may be some mothers out there today who are hurting very much. Maybe you have a child that is deep in drugs or is in some sort of a lifestyle that's very difficult. And maybe criminal activity. I don't know. Whatever it is you're going through, Jesus understands, dear mothers out there. He understands the pain that you're going through, and he wants to do something about it. And that's why this story, Pastor Jim, hit me this week as I was reading in Luke. It just really hit me because this woman was in so much pain. Let's go to Luke chapter 7. And we'll start with about verse 11, 7:11. That's an easy way to remember it. So not long after that, Jesus went to the village Nain, and his disciples were with him, along with quite a large crowd. As they approached the village gate, they met a funeral procession. A woman's only son was being carried out for burial, and the woman was a widow. Pastor Jim, talk to us about the burial customs and what would probably this scene look like back 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, there would have been a lot of weeping. I mean, just when somebody died, it was you just were very demonstrative. So it probably would have been not only the the mother and the people carrying the coffin, which I guess would have been open because we'll find out later why I think that.
I think so too. Yeah. Was it in a coffin, or was he just laying
just
on a mat?
Either laying on a mat or a board.
That's the way
or
I always envisioned it. But
or actually in an open box.
Okay.
One of the two. And then of course the mother and whatever other relatives, and then you know the whole town would show up for this thing.
Absolutely.
And I think it's even more poignant. She not only is she a widow,
right?
This is her only son, and you know, I was just thinking, this miracle is a lot like, well, it's the first time Jesus raises somebody from the dead, as we find out. But also, it harkens back to Elijah,
yes,
and Elisha, both of whom raised an only son from the dead, and
which is a metaphor for
the resurrection.
Right. God the Father raising his only son from the dead.
Right.
So God always tells us what he's going to do.
Before he does it.
Before he does it. Then he does it.
Then he
tells
us,
oh, this is what I did. Yeah, let's don't forget that. So that's kind of a neat progression. And I love the way the Bible does that, Jim.
Right.
I do. Go ahead.
And I think, well, you know, it's just, so here, I mean, Jesus comes upon like this whole village just come out to mourn. I mean, just like they did with Lazarus. I mean, the whole town was out
whole
there.
The whole town was there. Yeah.
So, you know, he comes upon this scene, and, you know, he knows what's happening. And it says in the next verse, verse 13, and if
go
I
ahead.
May.
Yes, please.
In this, I'm reading out of the New International Version. When the Lord saw this, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry.
Wow.
I love the way that's, I mean, I know that's that Greek word that I love so much, you know, splanknidzomai.
Oh my. Wait a minute. Say that one more time, because people, the New Testament was written in Greek, right. Old Testament in Hebrew. So this Greek word was?
Splanknidzomai.
Splanknidzomai. Yeah. All right. I love
that. Which means to basically just have this kind of feeling. See, I'm taking after you now.
Yeah, you are. You're making those sounds.
Making those same sounds.
What do you mean
it's
by
like
that?
Just in the Greek, it means that you just had this stirring in your innermost being.
Right.
And it says, you know, Jesus' heart went out to her. He felt, I think other translations say he felt compassion
right.
for her. And, you know, what a wonderful God
wow.
we serve. I mean, Jesus could have said, oh, man, you know what? Look, this is part of the curse of Adam. You're all,
right.
you know, you're all going to die, and just walked on. But he stepped up and reversed the curse in this case.
He did, because he saw the mother who, and I love this because it shows that he cares about all of us, not just men in the culture. And we see that across the world where women are so often put down. Mm-hmm. And I think right now, speaking of this, and we'll go back to this, there is such a call for those 200, 300 young women in Nigeria to be found and brought back to their homes. And I tell you, a few decades ago, I don't think there would have been much said. You know, there's been a lot of changes, I believe, as far as mm-hmm. women's rights and education. And these girls were all in a school, correct?
Right. Well, if I may just
go ahead.
Say, it's one of the most barbaric things I've ever heard.
Isn't it?
In that, you know, these radicals.
Right.
And they're going to sell them, probably into prostitution
right.
or slavery.
Right.
And how the world can stand by and not do
and not
something.
Do something. I know. There is a call.
You know,
it's coming out across the world, don't you think now?
Yeah, I think, well, yeah.
But it may be a little late. I
yeah.
mean, because...
And I think some people are just afraid to offend anybody. Well,
right.
if we do this, we're going to offend a certain particular religious group. You know what?
It's ridiculous.
Offend them.
They
kidnapped 200 girls.
Right. Right.
You know.
In fact, you know, right now we declare in the name of Jesus that people will step up.
Amen.
And let this be a call to action to people in the spirit realm, that they will know that they are not going to get by with this, and somehow God's going to intervene, and we just believe
God.
And release
those girls.
And release those girls. We pray that right now in Jesus'
name.
I don't know where that came from, but that's just, you know what? That's just what God is saying. Let's get them released.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes along with the pain of this mother right here, who is so hurting that she is crying and wailing. We know that she was, and perhaps she was even saying things like, this is my only son. For some, it got written down that it was her only
right.
son.
Right. And you know, Jesus says, don't cry.
Right.
And you have to, you know, I wonder, I mean, I realize in the text, he didn't give her a whole lot of time to say anything, but
right.
you have to wonder what ran through her head.
Yeah.
Did she know who Jesus was? Did she
right.
have any hope at all that this situation was going to turn out like it did? Or did she think, like when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter, you know, he said, don't cry, don't cry. She's not dead, she's just sleeping.
Right.
I'll wake
right.
her. And everybody laughed at him. So mm-hmm. I wonder what emotions were. You know, in Jairus himself, Jesus said, don't worry, only believe.
Right.
And so you kind of wonder, well, what was mom thinking? But then it appears from the text that Jesus just moved right in. Don't cry, reached out, touched
yes,
whatever they were carrying the boy on, and, you know, said, little boy, I say to you, rise.
Rise.
And guess what?
I love this. Don't you love this? Young man, I tell you, get up. And the dead son sat up and began talking, and Jesus presented him to his mother. Okay, here, he's fine. Okay, see ya. I mean, isn't that cool that Jesus felt the agony and the pain of this mother? And some of you out there in Radio Land are hurting today because of your children. Whatever the situation might be in your family life, it is painful when your child goes through some really difficult time. And some of you can really relate to this mother. Perhaps you've actually lost a child to death. And on Mother's Day in particular, perhaps you are really suffering. And we just speak comfort to you today in the name of Jesus for whatever it is that you are going through. I love the fact that Jesus says to her, don't cry. And then he does something about the situation. And I think so often people have been sold the lie by the devil that Jesus doesn't really care about their situation. I have heard so many people through the years, Pastor Jim, say, oh, well, you know, my problems are nothing. They're not as important, or God's too busy doing other things.
Right.
Have you heard that? I've heard that for years.
Yeah. God doesn't care about me or my little things or whatever. I mean, sometimes people just think that God doesn't care about you at all. Well, here's a perfect example that he does. I mean, first of all, just the very fact that Jesus is who he says he is, and that he is this, you know, God the Son taking on human flesh. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Yes.
That is love.
Yes.
And here, you know, Jesus cared enough. He knew how deeply wounded this mother must have been.
Right.
And he raises her son for her. And, you know, just how cool. In front of the whole town.
In front of the whole
town. This wasn't something he did in secret, mind you.
No.
You know, he did it in front of this huge crowd. And it says they were just filled with awe or fear. You know, they were stunned, basically. You know, it's not every day you see the dead raised.
Oh, no. This had to be quite something they talked about for a long time. And more than likely, a lot of people became believers from that one event, this one story, don't you think? Because it says here that when he walked into town, he walked in with a large crowd following him.
Right.
So there were people thinking, okay, what's he up to today? What's he going to do today? Now, Pastor Jim, I kind of alluded to this morning in the sermon, but I want to really make this point. We've got to become, as servants of the living God, more aware of the golden opportunities that are going to be put in our paths on the day, on each day, daily basis.
Right.
You know, gold in the word stands for the deity of God. Okay. And there is so much that we need to be looking at and thinking, okay, what is God going to do today? I mean, air of expectancy. That's what I'm trying to say. We've got to develop an air of expectancy, an attitude of, okay, what are my golden opportunities today? And G-O, golden opportunity. We got the word go right there. Mm-hmm. And then go and do what God tells you to do.
Right, because God will put, whether we may know it or not, or may even be aware of it, people, events will happen.
Yes.
I mean, I used to look at, you know, things as just being by chance.
Right.
But I know better now.
Right.
You know.
Don't you think a lot of people think that everything is just by chance and whatever happens, you know, the old song, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be.
And that's not true.
And it's not true.
Yeah, it's just a pretty song, but it's not true.
Right.
We think that God is so far removed that, you know, he's not personally involved.
Right.
And here we see personal involvement.
Exactly.
He goes up there, comforts the widow, raises her son. The whole town follows him, and, you know, they talk about him. It says the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country.
Oh, my heavens.
Wow. That's a whole lot of territory.
As a result of a golden opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus could have said, oh, look at them. Oh, there's a funeral going on. I'm bypassing this town. I'm walking on down to the next one.
What a bummer.
Yeah, what a bummer. There's a traffic jam. Little Andrew last week, it was so cute.
Begging and Betty.
Oh, there we go again. Betty and Megan. I kept doing that Wednesday night at Bible studies. Cedric, whatever your name is,
Begin and Betty.
Yeah, I did all the time.
Megan and Betty.
I was going Begin and Betty is what I was doing the other night. And anyway, little Andrew, and he was so good, wasn't he? Last week here,
he was great.
He's just so cute, 4 years old. And where was I going with that? And we were talking about him. right? Little Andrew. And just how sweet he was and just how innocent and just absorbing everything. And just he was so affected by the death of his little brother. You know, it was really amazing. They stayed with me about a week and we had a wonderful time together. And every once in a while, out of the clear blue, Andrew would say, I'm going to sing a song now. What are you going to sing? I'm going to sing a song to Grayson, his little brother, who's with Jesus. And he would just spontaneously, it probably happened 5 or 6 times in the week that they were with me. He would just sing this little song, you know, and you could tell that all of this had really affected him, you know, and the hurts in our lives, the things that happen like this, losing someone, going through that estrangement from somebody we love and now they're in heaven. It does affect us. And this woman was really affected by the loss of her child, as Megan was and should be, you know, which we totally understand. But here Jesus is invading the situation. He's not avoiding it. He invades it, Pastor Jim.
He had a tendency to do that.
He
never shied away.
Right.
If there was a situation that happened, I mean, all through the Gospels.
Right.
Jesus never shied away. The only thing he ever went away to do was pray.
Right.
And, you know, that's a good thing.
Right.
You know, he needed that. And that's, of course, a good hint for us, too. We need
Absolutely.
To always do that. But, you know, it just amazes me. I still think, what was her, I go back to the mother, what was running through her head? You know, don't cry.
It's okay.
Don't cry. It's okay. but that's why I think, you know, because it doesn't follow up on that. I'm pretty sure Jesus just turned, because I'm sure she was right there at that
right.
funeral pallet or whatever that was. So I'm sure he just turned and touched her.
Right.
And then said, little boy, rise, without really giving her a whole lot of time to think.
Right.
Because sometimes that's an issue. We look at other events like Peter and walking on water. When he had time to think, he sank.
Right. Sometimes we just need to reach out in that golden opportunity moment.
And do it.
And do it. You mm-hmm. know? That's exactly right, you know? And I think it's interesting that Betty and Megan never once said to Andrew, your brother's dead. No, let's don't. No. It was like he needed to express his feelings mm-hmm. that way, and he would write these little songs. And I think that so often we bury our emotions. For instance, when it's relating to our mothers, you know, what is America about? It's about baseball, apple pie, and mothers, right? Haven't you heard that for years? And believe me, it's about baseball. I'm telling you right now.
And a particular car model.
Yeah. Oh, and Chevrolets.
Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, but seriously, so often we bury the pain of emotional trauma, you know? And Jesus is saying, I see your pain. He cares about it, Jim.
Yeah. I was looking for the scripture, and I can't find it right now, but maybe in Ezekiel, in all their afflictions, I was afflicted.
Ah.
You know, that
yes.
has stuck with me.
Yes.
Because God's saying, you know, when you're afflicted, I'm afflicted.
Right.
And, you know, he does feel our pain. And that's why Jesus took it all on the cross.
Amen.
You know, it said he took our pains, he took our sorrows.
Says he took our sorrows, yes.
He took those to the cross.
Mm. We sang the song last week in our service, not here on the show, Trading My Sorrows, mm-hmm. which is a great song. So I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my pain. I'm trading it all for the joy of the Lord, you know? And I'm sick, my sickness, my shame, my sorrow, all of that sorrow and shame, isn't it? Sickness and pain. That's what it is. But I'm trading it all for the joy of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Look what happened. She traded in this woman on, you know, as we celebrate Mother's Day today, she traded in the pain of losing her son by one touch, one word from Jesus, and her son was restored.
Yeah. And I just am picturing it in my mind, because it doesn't say how old the son was, but it says Jesus gave him back to her mother. So I think Jesus picked him up and
yeah.
handed him over,
right?
You know, to mom.
Right.
And she probably needed people to help her stand at that point.
Oh, I mean, think about it. You know, and as I was reading this earlier in the week in my desk, and I got thinking about the scene at the crucifixion where Jesus is about to go into glory, and he looks down and he sees his mother. He had an aunt there, I believe, also Aunt Mary, same name. And he had some other people. Mary Magdalene was there and some of the disciples. But John, his beloved John, was standing at the foot of the cross. And what did Jesus say to John?
Behold your mother.
Now, Jesus had, we know, 5 or 6 other earthly brothers and sisters, right? That he could have said to one of them, here, take care of mom. Because Jesus was the oldest child, so it was his responsibility, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So instead of passing his mother off to one of his earthly brothers and sisters,
he looked at Mary and said, mother, behold your son, referring to John.
Yes.
And, you know, son, behold your mother.
Right.
And, I think primarily because, you know, John was already a disciple.
Right.
And, he knew he could trust John. And it says from that day on, Mary stayed with John.
Right.
And so.
So interesting to me.
It is interesting that he would, that's just kind of odd that he would do that. And I know the interpretation that a rather large church based in Italy would say, that at that point it's symbolic of Mary being the mother of the church, which, yeah, okay, in a sense she was.
Sure.
But realistically, he wanted to make sure his mother was taken care of.
Yeah.
And right then, even though I think he knew that James and the rest of his brothers would come around, right then he said, I just want you to know, Mom, I'm thinking of you.
Isn't that great? You know, on Mother's Day.
Think about that.
How did Jesus, what he did is he just made very special that position of a mother,
mm-hmm.
don't you think? And was thinking about her in his last few moments. I think that is just beautiful. And that just rang back to me this week, you know, how important the mothers are in our lives. But also, Jim, how many people in this world are embittered against their mother.
Well, we've talked about this quite a bit. Not all mothers were good.
That's right. A lot of people
grew up with abusive mothers.
Right.
Or abusive fathers, or both.
Or both.
But there comes a point when you just got to say, I forgive.
Right.
And like you always say, just because you forgive somebody doesn't mean you agree with what they did, because you can't.
No.
What you're saying is, okay, they're never going to be able to make this right. I'm releasing them from being able to control me.
Right.
Because unforgiveness, I mean, yes, so much I want to say right here, but I had a pretty dysfunctional family. More my father than my mother. My mother was incredibly passive and would just do whatever, you know, go along with whatever dad did. But it was verbally, you know, it was pretty verbally abusive. There was a lot of verbal humiliation and such. But I had to be able to forgive my father.
Absolutely.
Because, first of all, I was in bondage to that. Secondly, he was in bondage to that. There was no way he was going to get out of that. And God really couldn't use me to work in my dad's life if I'm still all wound up with unforgiveness.
Right.
That's why it's so important. And, you know, it's not been a one-time thing, because sometimes unforgiveness creeps back in.
It certainly
and,
does.
You know, you have to stop and say, wait a minute. No, I've forgiven it. The words my dad said were at times were pretty rough. But you know what? They have no power over me anymore.
Right.
Because I cut it all off, you know?
Because you did that by choosing to forgive.
To forgive. And now, I mean, he's in one state and I'm in another, but, you know, we got a pretty decent relationship now. And it's much, much better than it was even 20 years ago or 30 years, especially 30, 40 years ago.
Well, we're going to talk more about forgiveness in this next little story that we're talking about in Luke chapter 7. And let's go over to it. And it starts in verse 36.
Oh, can I go back to the first story for just a second?
Go back to the first story. That's
fine. In the NIV, in verse, it says verse 16 of chapter 7. They were all filled with awe and praised God.
Oh, yes.
A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people.
Oh, amen.
You know, I just want to make that point. God has come to help his people.
Yes.
And it you know, we touched on it before, and this is one to keep touching on.
Yes.
Sometimes we don't think we're worthy of God's help.
Right.
We're ashamed of things we've done. We're ashamed of who we are. Any number of things. But God has come to help his people.
Praise God.
You know, that must, because here, historically, God had not been moving in, you know, in this area for about 400 years.
Right.
You know, the last prophet was Malachi. And then the Jewish people were under the dominion of Alexander the Great, and then under the dominion of the Persian. Well, under the dominion of Persians and Alexander the Great, then they were kind of in between the Ptolemies and the Seleucids. That, you know, little Judea there has been fought over for centuries and centuries, and still is. And then the Romans came in,
right.
So you know, things look pretty bleak,
right?
You know, and it's like almost like God had abandoned them. And then and here it is. Wait a minute. God has come to help his people.
Woo!
I mean, imagine the hope that inspires.
Yes. Oh, you know, it's absolutely.
Like, wow. God's moving again.
He's moving again. And I love what it says. I'm glad you brought that back up. Verse 16 of Luke 7. That after this miracle of raising this young man from the dead, it says that these people were quietly worshipful and then noisily grateful. I love that phrase, quietly worshipful. I mean, it was like sinking in, like, whoa, just what you just said. God is here. God is working in our lives mm-hmm. again. Oh, my God is here. And then they became noisily grateful. And I think there were a lot of shouting and praising God and lifting hands and like, whoa, God, we are so grateful for this miracle. Don't you think?
I do. I'm sorry. I was laughing because in most charismatic churches, we think you have to do the second part first.
Right.
And then move into that little quiet worship.
Right.
And here they did it just the opposite.
Just the opposite. They were, you know, worshipful.
And sometimes
right.
I think, you know, you see a great miracle and you and it says, you know, in the NIV, they were in awe. I mean, that's like being speechless.
Right.
It's like, whoa, what has God done?
Right.
And then, you know, you're kind of in that worshipful. And then it begins to bubble up
yes.
inside of you. And then you start, you know, jumping and leaping and, you know.
And when we relate this today to our situations that we're all in families where maybe there's been bitter feelings, hard feelings, things that have happened, when you begin to realize that God is at work in you and also in your family and begin to acknowledge that and worship him and realize that he knows what he's mm-hmm. doing here and he is trying to soothe the pain of the past. Then you become kind of noisily grateful. Thank you, God, that you're
working.
You're working. And you see the situation and it's getting better.
Yeah.
You know?
In my head popped that Newsboy song, God's not dead. He's
right.
Surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion.
Yes. You know? We're going to do that one again. Let's do that again next Sunday.
Okay.
That's a good song. Let's go to this song by the group New Song. And it's an old one. It's called Defining Moment. And some of you right now need a defining moment in your life. So listen carefully to the words of this song.
Every heart, a time of real decision, when we reach the point of choosing how we will live our lives, all our hopes, all our dreams will rise up from that moment, the moment we surrender and choose to follow Christ. He's been waiting all our lives to hear us say,
that song. We've played it many times through the years. I love it. I love those words. And I love, of course, that beat. You know, that's kind of a Central American thing here. When you believe he's all you need, that will be your defining moment. Mm-hmm. When you choose to surrender, I am yours, take my hand and lead the way. Those words just stick out at me because it is about surrender if we are going to come out of the pain of difficult relationships that we've had in the past, you know, and be raised up to new life, you know. Oh, when you believe he's all you need, it's that surrender moment.
Which leads us to that second woman in chapter 7.
Luke 7,
she certainly
verse 36.
Had a surrender moment.
Boy, didn't she. You know, it makes you wonder. Luke 7, 36. Makes you wonder what she was all about. Do you believe this was Mary Magdalene?
Yes.
I do too. And one of the Pharisees asked him over for a meal. We're in Luke 7, 36. He went, this is Jesus, to the Pharisee's house and he sat down at the dinner table. Just then, a woman of the village, the town harlot, or we would use the word prostitute in our day, having learned that Jesus was a guest in the home of the Pharisee, came with a bottle of very expensive perfume and stood at his feet weeping. I love that. Raining tears on his feet. Letting down her hair, she dried his feet and kissed them and anointed them with the perfume. Now, let's just stop right there for a minute before we talk about the Pharisee. Let's talk about the woman, Pastor Jim. This is a very bold action that this woman took on her part, going into the home of a Pharisee who was a by the books, law, kind of guy, and very religious, but not necessarily spiritual, but very religious, wanted to keep all the rules and the laws and all that. So a prominent man, more than likely.
Right.
His name was Simon. And, at some point, Jesus had caught his attention.
But there's a possibility, you know, later on we find out that he was not the most hospitable of Pharisees.
Right.
And there's a possibility he just invited Jesus there to trap him.
Right.
Rather than to learn from him.
Right.
Maybe he just did it out of curiosity. I've heard about you. Let me just see what's going on here. You just get the feeling like it wasn't an honest sit down, like when Nicodemus came to Jesus. You know, that was Nicodemus wanted to know.
Right.
I just get the feeling like Simon didn't.
Right.
And for those of you who either saw it in its first run some 30-some years ago on TV, I'm reminded of that scene in Jesus of Nazareth where, they portrayed it as being Mary Magdalene, comes in and actually has to break into the house to get
that.
To Jesus' feet.
Yeah, I forgot that.
You know, and it was, like you said, a bold move. That's what made me think about it. You just, first of all, she was a prostitute.
Right.
And you can just about bet that, you know, the Pharisee had servants or somebody to try and keep her out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because she would pretty much, in the Pharisee's eyes, defile that entire house.
Yeah.
Just by setting one foot in it.
Right.
Because of her being a prostitute.
Right. And they would be very upset that she was even in the house.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, because she'd pollute the whole thing.
Pollute it. But she boldly walks in there, and there is a reason she does this, a reason that she comes to. She knows exactly who Jesus is.
Right.
That's a great point right there. We know who he is. We don't always run to him, but we know who he is.
Well, and it's possible she heard him preach.
Right.
Because obviously she came in there. She was pretty repentant before she even set foot in that house. She wanted to do something for Jesus.
Yes. But her reputation preceded her.
Ooh, apparently so.
But you know what? I love that. And you say, well, why are we talking about this woman on Mother's Day? Because I believe there's a lot of women out there, Pastor Jim, who have done things in their past that they've regretted greatly, that they've gotten themselves into all kinds of messes, as men do too. But we're talking about a woman here who had the courage, to do something very bold and drastic in order to get forgiven.
Well, and I think the other thing is, okay, I love Luke's euphemism. She was a sinful woman.
Sinful woman, yeah.
And yet, she A, wasn't afraid to come to Jesus.
Right, amen.
And sometimes we think our sins are such a barrier right. That God could never forgive us. Well, here's this prostitute who was willing to come to Jesus. And look at the intimate contact
yes.
they had.
Yes.
I mean, she poured the oil on his feet. She cleaned it off with her tears. She wiped it. Wiped
totally.
His feet with her hair.
Yes.
And that's pretty intimate contact.
Oh, that is. That was so out of character for the culture at the time.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a servant girl might do that. And that, okay, you know, that would have been okay because she's a slave. At least she's not a prostitute. But
this is the worst of the worst in their eyes, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. But she had that. And the other thing is, Jesus didn't say, get away from me, y'all whore.
Yeah.
You know, he could
right.
have. He could have. Get away from me.
Wait.
I know who you are, you
right.
prostitute. Go mm-hmm. away. I don't. Because, well, like with the dead boy, mm-hmm. Jesus touched the beer, the pallet he was
right.
on.
Right.
That should have transmitted uncleanliness
right.
to Jesus because he touched something a dead body was on.
But see, Jesus just goes right ahead and does.
And does it anyway because he transmitted cleanliness. He
yes.
transmitted ritual cleanness instead
yes.
of uncleanliness. Same thing with this
right.
woman. It should have defiled, like I said, in the Pharisees' eyes, the whole house would have to be hosed down.
Right.
Seriously. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
And here she's actually touching Jesus. Well, I can imagine the Pharisee just kind of pulling his robes in a little tighter and kind
right.
of backing off and thinking, you know, oh, I hope she doesn't touch me like, you know,
right.
I don't want her touching me.
And here's Jesus receiving it.
Right.
And also validating women, you know. He's not saying, oh, wait a minute, she's a woman, get her out of here.
Right.
You know, go ahead.
Yeah, he validated her gender.
Yes.
He validated her.
Right.
You know, in all her sinfulness,
mm-hmm.
because she came in, this was her act of repentance.
Right.
Was to do this. And he validated that. He said, you know what? I forgive you.
Right.
Well, of course, the Pharisee is thinking or saying, if he is supposed to be this great big prophet like he says he is, he should have known what kind of woman she is.
Isn't that interesting? The Pharisee gets all honked off, you know, and so holier than thou, you know,
right.
and saying, wait a minute, doesn't he know that she is a prostitute? I mean, in other words, what he was trying to do is put Jesus down and make everybody think Jesus didn't know what kind of woman this was.
Right. Well,
he knew exactly what he did.
Of course he did.
Which he knows exactly the way all of us are, you know.
Well, you know, and that's, again, one of the scary things about God.
Right.
You know, he knows.
He knows everything about us and still loves us.
We can't hide from him. Where can I flee from your spirit?
Right.
If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to hell, you're there.
Right, yeah.
You know, God knows us inside and out.
That was David, his words,
yeah,
when
in Psalm 139.
Sinned and with adultery with Bathsheba. But,
and
go ahead.
He still loves us. He knows us better than we do ourselves. We can't possibly think.
Right.
Well, we do because we just tend to deceive ourselves.
Right.
That we're putting one over on God.
Right.
Like, if you look in the prophets, there's a lot of times when the prophet is saying, you know, the people are saying, God doesn't see us. He doesn't know what we're doing. Yeah, right. don't deceive yourself. God knows exactly what you're doing. He knows what you're feeling. He knows
exactly.
what you're going through. And he still loves you, just like this sinful woman.
Right.
And just amazing to me. I mean, she breaks into the house. She ministers to Jesus. The Pharisee gets honked off. First of all, he puts Jesus down.
Yeah.
Well, if he's really who he says he is, he'd know who this was. And the subtle underneath thing is, and he'd push her away and command her to get out of my house.
Right, Right.
You know,
that's what he was wanting to happen.
Yeah, that's kind of the unspoken undertone there.
Sure.
That she's a sinful woman.
Right.
We certainly wouldn't let her be doing this. And yet Jesus lets her do that, and we'll find out here in a little while what he says to her.
And we'll do that when we go into the next hour right there. But I want to make a point right here to women who are listening or will be listening later on to the show, that I think a lot of times, Pastor Jim, people, and because it's Mother's Day, we'll address women, that don't become all that they can be in God because of past behavior, maybe current behavior, things that they know they are wrong in, and they allow the devil to not only lead them down a path that is wrong, but then once they are in that situation or whatever it is, feel so unworthy that God could love them or ever use them in ministry or anything else. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and like you said, yeah. Today for Mother's Day, kind of focusing on women, but anybody.
Right.
It doesn't matter. First of all, it doesn't matter what you've done.
Right.
And we'll find out, you know, Jesus will forgive you just like he forgave this woman.
Exactly.
And once you're forgiven, it's gone.
Right.
It's not like God says, okay, I'll forgive you, but if you step out of line, I'm going to keep reminding you of it. That would be the devil's job.
God never reminds us, right?
Right. It's gone.
Psalm 103.
It's gone.
Yes.
I mean, it's gone.
Right.
It's like just completely wiped away. It's like a dry erase board. And it's just gone. Now, Satan will try and remind you of that to keep you, and basically keep you down. To keep you, God could never forgive you. God didn't forgive you. Yeah, the blood of Jesus tells me
he did. Absolutely.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I sinned 2 seconds ago.
Right.
If I ask him to forgive me, he will do it.
Well, this just takes me to Psalm 103. And, you know, David wrote these words and he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. He crowns me with..." You there? Go ahead. Read the first four or five verses of Psalm 103 instead of me quoting it.
"Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases,
mm-hmm.
who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles."
Whoa. And verse 10, "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great." Go on.
"So great is his love for those who fear him."
Amen.
"As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us."
Oh, I love those verses.
I love that because I love the way David chose east to west.
Yes.
And I know I've said this before.
Go ahead and say it again.
You can go north till you can't go north anymore.
Then you're going south.
Because then you're heading south. And you can go south until you can't go south anymore, because then you'll be headed back north. But you can just keep going east as many times as you want, and you'll never have to go west.
Right.
And you can go west. So as far as the east is from the west.
Oh, wow. Praise God.
So it's like, from infinity east to infinity west, that's how far away he has carried our sins.
He forgives all our iniquities, it says right there. He heals all our diseases.
Right.
Let that get down on the inside of you this day. We'll be back to this discussion in a couple minutes. We are Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are in Clearwater, Florida. And we have our internet up right now if you want to send an email for a question or a comment or even a prayer request. Our prayer line is prayers@bohmglobal.com. And Pastor Jim, just tell them who can use that prayer line.
Anybody.
Anybody. Doesn't have to be a part of the ministry.
Right. No, if you have any prayer requests, we desire for you to send them in, and we will send them out and pray for them, and we believe that God will answer.
Amen. And he does all the time.
Amen.
The praise reports are just tremendous. And once we've prayed for you and you get your answer, And it's not because we think we're special. We just think we are the children of God doing what God's called us to do. And we see tremendous answers to prayer through our prayer line.
Amen.
And have now since 06, or 08, I guess it was. All right, so it's been a number of years. It's 6 years since 08. Mm-hmm. Okay. So prayers at BOHMglobal.com. Use it and tell others about it. We're going to Station ID, then we're coming back for another hour live on Living the Good Life.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia, Pastor Jim, my associate pastor is right here with me. And Nathan, I did say four, didn't I? And I didn't even mean that.
Yes, you did say four.
I'm sorry. I'm so used to us starting at four for several years. And then last year we moved it up an hour and we're now 3 to 5 instead of 4 to 6. And I wasn't even thinking. So, you know, and there you were. You called in a four right on time, didn't you? So have you been listening to our discussion, Brother Nathan?
Yes, I have.
Isn't it wonderful, God's forgiveness of us?
Yes, it is.
I mean, it's just absolutely blows me away sometimes. And in this story of this harlot, the prostitute, what God was doing here in her life, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, and then she began, Mary Magdalene, Pastor Jim, think about what happened on resurrection morning when Jesus came out of the tomb.
Yeah, who's the first person he appeared to?
The first person that he appeared to is this woman, mm-hmm. Mary Magdalene. Nathan, talk to me about that and the significance of this. I think this is truly important.
She came to the tomb grieving and she left it an evangelist.
Woo! She came what? Now say it again. Grieving?
To the tomb grieving. And she left it an evangelist.
An evangelist. The first evangelist, really.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's noteworthy here, guys. She's a woman. So, anyway, I just like to rub that in once a year on Mother's Day. I want to rub that in. But think about this, Nathan. I mean, this is a prostitute. This is somebody who was despised and made fun of in this town.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she was.
But she had the courage to do something about her situation.
Yes, she did. Well, she had heard about Jesus, and she believed that he loved her.
Right.
And that he would forgive her.
Right.
And that he would receive from her.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And from this point on, she follows him. You know, she gives up her lifestyle. Pastor Jim, what do you know about Mary Magdalene here?
Well, we come to find out she had 7 demons cast
right.
out of her.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, she used her ill-gotten gain to help support Jesus' ministry.
Right. She must have been a woman of means.
Yes, she must have. Well, she probably, yeah.
She probably was.
She probably was not poor.
Right.
Obviously, because she helped support Jesus and the disciples.
Right.
And she did follow them. And, you know, she... Not only did she have an alabaster jar of ointment here, but she also had some spices and the linens and such to help rebury Jesus.
Right.
That's why she went to the tomb. And that wasn't cheap.
No.
You know. So she obviously was a woman of some means, at least.
But she's a woman of courage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, at some point, she was convicted of her lifestyle and realized she needed to make a change, you know? And then she does something about it.
Right. She had the courage to do it.
Right. Yeah. It's amazing. Nathan, this story where Simon gets all uppity up, the Pharisee, talk to me about that, because don't you think the world is full of a lot of religious hypocrites out there, that people are just sick and tired of the uppity up type attitude? You know what I mean by that? The pride?
Definitely. I mean, I think that's one of the major turnoffs to people that are non-Christians.
Right.
Because they say that Christians think they're better than thou or whatever.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people with an arrogant attitude.
Yeah. Arrogant. You know? That's the word I'm looking for. And what does Jesus do about that when Simon says, you know, you must not really be a, basically he's alluding, if this man was the prophet I thought he was, he would have known what kind of woman this is who's falling all over him.
Yeah.
I know what I would have done. You know, in my humanness, I probably would have read him the Riot Act.
Right.
And I love what Jesus does. Simon, let me tell you a story.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, instead of confronting the issue directly, right, which he does in a way right here,
right,
he says, let me give you an illustration. Mm-hmm. Of, maybe this will help you out.
Right.
And he tells the story about the two men who owed their master. One owed them 500 days' wages, the other 50.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, the master wrote it off, forgave it, just tore it up, got rid of it. Both the debts. And he said, well, which one do you think is going to love this guy more?
Right.
And Simon correctly said, well, the one who owed him more, I suppose.
Right.
Well, duh.
Yeah, that's a duh moment. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And then, but then he brings it right back to Mary.
Yes.
To Mary Magdalene. Well, look at this. You know what? When I came in, you didn't wash my feet. And that was customary.
Right.
You'd wash the you'd have somebody wash the dust off their feet.
Right.
And then you didn't anoint my head with oil, you know. And because it says up here, Jesus went in and just reclined. None
right.
of this other stuff. And yet here's Mary comes in. She washes my feet with her tears. She wipes them, you know. She anoints them. She wipes it dry with her hair. And then first of all, okay, that was kind of pointy because it's like he was saying, I know what you're up to, Simon.
Right.
You're not fooling me.
Right.
You know, because like I said before, I really think Simon was going to try and trap him like they did.
Yes.
Like the Pharisees tried to so many
right.
times.
Right.
And then he just looks at Mary and says, you know what? Your sins are forgiven.
Oh, yes.
Your sins, and I know they are many.
Right.
Are forgiven.
Ooh.
Which took right back to the parable.
Yes.
You know, wow.
Talk to me about that, Nathan. Did you find that song, Cedric? Oh, good. We're going to play that next in just a moment. And Jim can introduce that song in just a moment. Nathan, talk to me about this woman. What else did you want to comment about that?
Well, just the fact that Jesus saw her and knew her as she was.
Good point.
He knew her.
Yeah.
And yet he was able to receive from her and was able to forgive her.
Yes. Yes, and he was not sitting there in critical, judgmental attitude towards her, was he?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. He was loving her.
He was loving her just the way she was. And don't you think that applies to so many of our listeners today? We've made this point in the first hour. I want to make it again. So many women, because it's Mother's Day, we'll just say women, but men too, are so beaten down with the things they've done in the past that they are now ashamed of. Talk to me about that, Nathan.
Well, thank God for forgiveness, because there are many things in my past that if I dwelt on them, I would be so depressed.
Right. Sure.
I would feel like life's not worth living.
Right.
But Jesus forgave me and cleansed me with his blood. And I'm so grateful for that.
Right.
You know, that I'm not the same person that I was.
Right.
That he's made me a new creation in him.
Amen. But it takes an attitude in your heart where you're submitting to God. And that's why I want to do this song that we just found. And then we'll do the stand later. But let's go ahead. And the title of it is Keep Making Me?
Keep Making Me by Sidewalk Prophet.
Go ahead. What else did you want to say about
them?
Well,
just it's a new song, but every time I hear it, sometimes there are those songs that just kind of pierce your heart. And
sure.
This is one of them. If you listen to the lyrics, it fits so well with what we've been talking about, because the whole thing is, you know, sometimes God has to break us or make us lonely or just so he can move in our lives.
Right.
And this is a song all about keeping us humble before God, which Ooh. Is kind of like how Mary was.
She was. Amen.
Make me broken so I can be healed, 'cause I'm so callous and now I can't feel. I wanna run to you with heart wide open. Make me broken. Make me empty so I can be filled. 'Cause I'm still holding onto my will. And I'm completed when you are with me. Make me empty till you are my one desire. Till you are my one true love. Till you are my breath, my everything. Lord, please keep making me. Make me lonely so I can be yours. Till I want no more, more than you, Lord. 'Cause in the darkness I know you will hold me. Make me lonely till you
a great song. I love that song. Make me broken, make me empty. Wow. You know, this just goes so along, Nathan and Pastor Jim, with what God has been saying in our congregation over the last few months. And that is, it's time for surrender. Mm-hmm. It's time for getting on our knees before God. Lord, break me. Break those old habits that I have that are not pleasing to you. Break those old attitudes that just don't reflect your nature. And do something fresh in me. Nathan, PJ's crying like a baby in here. So talk to us about that song while he regains his composure here.
Well, I
you are too? You're crying like a baby too?
Well, make me broken, Lord. Make
yes.
me broken.
Yes.
I mean, I hear that song, and it touches me too.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to drive.
My heart.
Yeah.
I want to be the potter, I'll be the clay. You
right.
know? Mm-hmm. Make me what you want me to be, Lord.
And Nathan, don't you think that that's what God is saying in this season right now? It's not just happening at Beacon of Hope. I believe it's happening in a lot of congregations and a lot of people. I am telling you, though, it is happening at Beacon of Hope. And it's happening in me, in my heart. And I want to be all that he wants me to be. And I don't want to miss out on any blessings because of my stubbornness or my pride or my, I got to do it this way because that's the way we've always done it. It's a matter of submitting entirely to Jesus and what he wants done. Nathan, talk about that, and then we'll get Pastor Jim's take on that. That submission thing that God is doing in us.
Well, the thing of it is, a Christian can't truly be happy unless he submits to God.
Amen.
Boy, that is wise right there.
You can't be happy. I mean, you can't know happiness. You know, you have the joy of the Lord in your spirit, but happiness, that momentary feeling of giddy joy or whatever. I mean, you can't know it unless you know that you're submitted to the will of God.
Right.
And that you're submitted to Him, that He's Lord of your life.
Yeah.
He's making you what He wants you to be. He's guiding and directing your footsteps. He's giving you golden opportunities.
Yes, that's right.
Hallelujah. You know, I mean, because that's where happiness comes from.
Right. It really does. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when we really submit, that joy just fills us. Mm-hmm. That's what happens. That's a result. Joy is a result of submission.
Right. And I was thinking, Nathan, you said, you know, and I agree, you can't really be happy. I know the times I've been rebellious, backslidden, whatever. I know better. And
right.
It sometimes knowledge is a curse. you know better. And you're just not happy because you know you're not where God wants you to be.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think of what Jesus said to Paul, or Saul, when, on the road to Damascus. Isn't it hard to kick against the goads?
Right.
You know, you can't keep doing this.
Right.
You can't keep... You know, trying like, and you know, the reference is there to like a mule,
right?
You're having to goad it to go somewhere, and the mule's just refusing. Well, Jesus says, "Don't be like that."
Right.
You know,
don't be like, that's right.
Don't be like a mule. And it's so true, because true joy, and like it bubbles over into happiness.
Yes.
Comes from submitting, from trusting and obeying, you know.
Yes.
In fact, oddly enough, I always try to put like some little hymn verse at the beginning of our Sunday song list.
Yes,
when
I noticed you do.
And what was it from this week?
Yeah.
It was the first line from Trust and Obey.
Yeah.
So.
When we walk with the Lord.
In the light of His word, what a glory He sheds
on
our way.
Yes.
And that's so true. I mean, we as we trust Him, as we obey Him, as we keep and submission is not a one-time thing. I mean, you don't just go to the altar once and it's done for eternity.
Right.
Submission is an attitude. I mean, it's an action which may need to be repeated several times a day. But it's also an attitude.
It is. It is an attitude. And I think sometimes people just miss out on all the glory that they could have, all the joy, all the fulfillment. You know, when we fulfill God's plan for our lives, there is nothing more satisfying than that. You know, when we are in a position of taking a stand for Him, when we are saying, okay, like Mary Magdalene, this is huge, that this woman left a lucrative lifestyle, okay?
Yeah, okay.
And, well, seriously.
It
was lucrative, and here she is. And somehow Jesus got to her. His teaching, her realizing He was the Messiah, whatever. And she goes and stands and weeps. How long has it been, people, since we've been weeping before God because we are not in that right place where we need to be?
About four minutes.
4 minutes ago. That's right. Yeah, you were right here. Yes, He was. Nathan, talk to me about this change that has to come over us to become all that God wants us to be.
Well, I know that for some people, it's not such an emotional thing.
Right.
For me, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, for the three of us, it is, yes.
Me.
Yeah.
And I just feel the love of God. I mean, God's love for me is so overwhelming when I really realize it.
Yes, yes.
When I really realize how much He loves me, how much He loved me to lay down His life for me.
Amen.
You know, and I love Him. And I realize that the love that I have for Him, He gave me. He gives me love for Him.
Right, that's true,
yeah. He fills me up.
Right.
And it's just like, oh, thank you, Jesus.
Right.
You know, I always feel right at home sitting at the keyboard during time of worship and praise. Because I know that's where I'm supposed to be.
You know that's right where you're supposed to be.
I know that's right where I'm supposed to be.
You know.
And that's right where the Lord is using me for His honor and glory.
Amen. Golden opportunity right there. You even wrote a song today from the piano, as happens so often. Friday, I was out showing homes. I'm also a realtor. That's my day job. And I was out showing homes down in Gulfport and got a phone call from the nursing home that we go to once a month. And it was I actually got two phone calls. One was from Becky, our activities director there, and then within seconds, the hospice nurse. And they said, one of your people, and they are one of our people, that have come to our services there for years now, was near death's door, and the family was requesting that I come and pray with the family and all that. And I'll tell you, that was one of those golden opportunities, PJ and Nathan, to go into that bedside and see the suffering of the family, the family members, and what they were feeling, but also know that I carried with me the presence of Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
And it was a golden opportunity right there to take their hands, John and the daughters, and hold their hands and just speak peace and comfort into their lives. And it was, yeah, I went off the beaten path from what I thought my day was going to be and ended up in a golden opportunity.
Right.
You know, talk to me about that, PJ.
Now, Pastor's
weeping. Well, I'm crying.
Now, Pastor's weeping.
Golly, Nathan, it's your turn.
It's
golly. But it just gets to me, Pastor Jim.
Well, and that's a wonderful thing, actually. You know, and I just was thinking, as you were telling the story again, you know, sometimes we just don't give our folks at the nursing home enough credit, because I never in my wildest dreams thought John would call you when Gloria was passing. I mean, that just took me completely by surprise. But what an impact. What an impact. I mean, I don't know how many other churches go there, and I'm not bragging, well, I am, on Beacon, but I don't know how many other churches minister there.
Over 3 years, the first Sunday of every month.
Yeah, and I don't know how many other churches go or whatever. But the impact that we as a church have had in that nursing home, for this to happen. I mean, you know, wow.
That's humbling, isn't it?
It is. It's very humbling to think we cannot ever think that our ministry there is in vain.
No, not at all.
I mean, this proves it. Right here, this proves it.
And when I walked in, John looked up me, you know, looked up at me with tears and oh, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. Grabbed my hand. He never let go that whole time, you know. And just telling his daughters the impact, you know. It makes it all worth it,
yes,
Pastor Jim. It makes every minute of the time we invest. And dear friends out there, God's got an opportunity for you. He's got golden opportunities for you to serve him. And Nathan, your turn. I gotta get rid of these tears here for a minute.
Well, it's no better place to be than serving God.
You're right.
I mean, because we were created in his image to have fellowship with him.
Yes.
To worship him, to praise him, and to serve him.
Amen.
And how do we serve him? We serve him by serving others.
Right.
And, you know, service out at the nursing home, we look forward to it every time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's just such a joy. It's such a joy. And seeing this resulting from it.
Right.
It's something else. It's like, praise God.
And we'll be doing her funeral this week, so. Mm-hmm. And actually, she's going to be buried at the same place where my parents are, so
wow.
Kind of cool on Curlew. Oh, wow. Okay, Cedric, let's go to track four, The Stand, if I can even talk about it so I can dry my eyes here. Praise God.
You stood before creation. Eternity. What could I say?
great song. I'll stand. Praise God. And that song just fits in perfectly right here what we're talking about, because God is calling us to take a stand and to surrender. And to, we just got a letter of email here. I want you to share, Pastor Jim, from one of our Beacon people.
Yes. And just hope you didn't work yourself to death over this weekend. Apparently not. So we're so glad you emailed us.
Yes.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
No, you're at home, not at work, so that's a blessing.
No, at home working.
At home working.
Yeah.
Oh, dear heavens.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're listening. Anyway, I do want to share what Allie wrote. It's, here at home listening to the show, what a wonderful passage to be bringing to our hearts and minds today. Here we have the woman of, quote, ill repute, who approaches the Lamb of God with a contrite and broken heart, offering her her baggage of death in exchange for eternal life.
Yes.
How wonderful it is to come to total surrender in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 underlines this for me. The act of the sinful woman in pouring out this very expensive perfume also tells me that when we decide to turn from death to life, we bathe God in the most pleasing aroma we could ever offer.
That's
wonderful.
Woo, that is so beautiful. Nathan, comment on that. That's from Allie.
Well, that's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah. We missed your church today, Allie.
Yes, yes.
But praise God, you know, that the best gift we can give to Jesus Christ is ourselves.
That's right. Yeah.
Is our lives. And to offer our lives to him is an ointment, a sweet smelling perfume to him.
And that's what this woman did, right?
That's what she did.
Yeah, and then she just bows before him, submits to him, and he uses her as an example of being forgiven for much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, and I love it. And, you know, he says, therefore, I tell you that her many sins have been forgiven, and her great love is shown. Her great love is shown.
Yeah,
I love
that beautiful?
You know? But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. And I think that was kind of a subtle way of saying, you know what? You, because Nathan, you mentioned before, I don't think Simon recognized, you know, his sins, or a lot of his sins, because he was
a religious leader, right?
Yeah,
he thought he was perfect, probably.
Probably doing everything according to the law.
Right.
And probably didn't have a good grasp on his own errors. So I think that last line there, Jesus was directing that at Simon. You know, that's why you got kind of this stony old heart.
Right.
Because, you know, you've not been forgiven of a lot. And here, Mary knew the magnitude of her sins.
Right.
I mean, she knew how horrible they were in total and individually.
Yes.
And yet she knew if she went to Jesus, what would happen. And he says, then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. Which must have sent a chill up everybody's spine there. Because
why? Explain why that would have been offensive to this religious Pharisee.
Well, it says the guest began to say, well, who is this man who forgives sin? And it's in another place in the Gospels, I think maybe Matthew. Who does he think he is? Only God can forgive sins. Well, okay.
There you go.
There you go.
There's that duh moment.
Yeah, duh. Jesus is God. And, you know, so he had the right to do that.
Right.
Oh, I know. It was when the man on the pallet, the lame man.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Jesus said, well, just so you know that I have the power to forgive sins, get up and walk.
Right.
And the guy gets up and walks, and it's like, well, okay. You know, what are you going to say to that?
Right.
But what a wonderful thing. He just looks at her and says, your sins are forgiven.
Mm.
What a relief and release that must have been for her.
Right.
My goodness, yes.
And look what happens when you go, what does he say in verse 50 right here of Luke 7? He ignored them and said to the woman, your faith saved you. Go in peace. It didn't matter what her past was. Her faith is what saved her.
Right.
Not her good works.
Right. Your faith has saved you.
You know?
Go in peace. And I think, you know, Mary kind of ties it all together. You know, James says faith without works is dead. Well, she showed her faith by what she did by ministering to Jesus.
Right.
She showed her faith. And Jesus said, you know what? Your faith has saved you. go in peace.
Yes.
And it wasn't, you know, go feeling really bad about what you've done.
Yeah, why don't you sit over there in the shame corner,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
And go
beat yourself up for another 6 months over this.
Right.
No, it was go in peace. It's done. It's over. The transaction's done. It's over.
You know, this is a good point because, Nathan, I feel, I'm going to go to you on this. I think a lot of people, and Mother's Day, there's a lot of women, men, everybody out there who feels so bad about things in the past that they won't move forward into the future, into all God's plan for them because they feel that God cannot use them. Would you address that?
Well, God can use you. All you need to do is repent.
Right. Yeah.
Turn away from your sin. Accept God's forgiveness. Accept the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from your sin. And just go on with Him.
Right.
Just go on with God.
And go forward. And repentance means doing the same thing, not doing the same thing over. Okay, PJ, rescue me there.
Repentance is making a 180-degree turn. It's literally in the Greek. It means to have another mind,
right?
To change your mind,
that's
to change
right.
your direction,
right?
So instead of continuing to go down the same path and do the same things, you turn around. You do a 180.
Yeah, and, which I usually say a 360.
Yeah.
And that's wrong because that's going back to the same place.
Yeah.
So 180. You do a 180 and.
Bun, and you change your attitude. It's a change of mind. It's a
yes.
change of action.
Right.
And, you know, repentance, John the Baptist said, bring forth fruits in keeping with your repentance.
Now, what did that mean?
Well, he was talking, and I believe it's in Luke's gospel, where, you know, he tells the soldiers, don't extort money.
Right.
Don't take more than you're allowed to. The tax collectors, don't charge more than you're supposed to.
Right.
You know, don't just show that this change has happened.
Exactly.
Because how's anybody going to know? You know, Mary was different from this point on. You went on ahead.
Let's do it. Let's read those next three verses. Luke 8, 1
yeah.
through 3. Go ahead.
Well, and it says that after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the servant of the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. So, you know, Mary had this big turnaround. Here she is now. She's tithing to Jesus, you know, basically she's
yeah.
tithing to the Lord.
Right.
But she's helping to support his ministry.
And she's following along with mm-hmm. him. She's not doing her old trade.
Right.
You know?
Right. She's not. I mean, you know, I don't know how good at cooks the, you know, disciples were, but it probably helped to have some of the women. And who knows, maybe Peter's wife was, because it says some other women, so Peter's wife may have been following
right.
along.
Yeah.
But Mary, you know, this showed the change in her. She,
yes.
Like the male disciples, you know, come follow me, and they left everything and followed him. Duh, that's exactly what Mary did.
And here it is, on Mother's Day, here we are looking at all these women who used, it says, their considerable means to support the ministry. And I tell you, there's people out there today in this world who, yeah, maybe sometimes people have been taken advantage of through some ministries that you know, would beg for money and whatever. We don't do that at Beacon of Hope. But we do say to you from time to time, plant your finances in this ministry because it is all about spreading the word of God. And it is only going, you and I both have full-time jobs, okay? Nathan is retired and, you know, but we are, you know, we have full-time jobs that support us. You know, the ministry.
Yeah, that's our support.
Yeah, that's our support. But the ministry is our joy. We do it out of love for God and fulfilling the calling on our lives. Nathan, talk to us about this and these women who really did have a life change and were following Jesus and supporting his ministry.
Yeah, but these were very wealthy women.
Right.
They were, I mean, they were no slouches, that's for sure.
Right.
And they supported the ministry.
Yeah.
As they went about. They supported, they paid the bills.
Right, they paid the bills.
You know, took care of all the needs of the ministry as they went about. And that's no small feat, because there were 12 disciples, there were these women, and there were other people that went along with them too.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I did say this morning that they were probably picking up the tab at McDonald's, but the truth of the matter is we know there was no McDonald's. So you know what they were doing? It was so primitive. They're cooking, you know, it had to be very difficult to cook the meals and to keep these guys on the road, you know? I mean, that had to be hard. So here we have these women that have totally changed their lives. I want to look over at Luke 8 real quick. And we didn't talk about this morning at Beacon of Hope, but I want to go to this woman just keeps coming back to my mind here. In Luke 8:43, there was a woman who for 12 years had had a hemorrhage. You guys remember this story? And she was afflicted with hemorrhages. And it says she had spent every penny. This is verse 43 of Luke 8. Every penny she had on doctors, but not one had been able to help her. Now, we're not against medicine. We're not against doctors. I was married to one for a long time. We believe in medicine. Nothing wrong with that. She had used medicine, but she got to a place where medicine was not helping her. The doctors could not cure her. And so what does she do? She hears about Jesus. And Nathan, does she just ignore the fact that she heard about Jesus and what he was doing?
No, his reputation preceded him.
Right, his reputation preceded him. There we go again.
Knew him as a healer.
Right, yes.
He believed that if she could touch the hem of his garment, she would be made whole.
Oh, woo, Pastor Jim, talk to us about that. What's that mean?
Well, the Greek word used there is kraspedon.
Kraspedon,
which is the same word that's used for the fringe on the edge of the garments in the book of Numbers, where God commands the fringe be placed on the corners of the robes, which that became the prayer shawl that Jewish
like you
men,
wear when
like
we do our Seder.
Passover
Seder we did a few weeks ago.
And that's what the Jewish, you know, that's kind of what it became, is the prayer shawl. And she kept saying to herself, I believe it's Matthew that specifies that, she kept saying to herself, if I just touch that,
right,
if I just touch the fringe of his garment.
Wow.
Which was put there to remind the Jewish men of all the commandments. If I just touch that, I'll be healed. And, you know, that was kind of her point of contact.
Right.
And
some people come up for prayer.
Right.
Some people at the end of our services come up, and I've said this for years, grab my hand, and we're going to agree in prayer. Some people come up and want us to lay hands on them, anoint them with oil, whatever the case may be. It's a point of contact, right?
And her point of contact was that robe.
Right.
And so she did, and of course there was the blue thread that was supposed to run through it, and blue, symbolic of healing.
Yes.
So, and she said, you know, she said, if I touch that, and actually it's a fulfilled prophecy.
Yes.
In the book of Malachi, it said, for those who fear God, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his kraspedon, in his wings.
Which is his robe, his shawl.
Robe. Yeah.
Yes.
And so he'll rise with healing. So that was one of the messianic prophecies.
Yes.
And she believed that. So she pushed her way through this crowd to get up there to touch him. And again, it's one of those times when she's unclean.
Right.
And she supposedly should have transmitted this uncleanness because, you know, under the law, during the time of your menstrual flow, you were unclean.
Had to be outside the camp.
For 14 days later.
Yeah.
And here she'd been bleeding for 12 years, which meant she'd heaped up a whole lot of uncleanliness.
Right.
And yet she touches Jesus, and what happens? His cleanness overcame her uncleanness.
Which is so good about the light within us overcoming the darkness in others when we have these golden opportunities.
Amen.
Talk to us about this, Nathan. Oh, this is good stuff. Good stuff. This will preach.
There's so many opportunities.
Yes.
And you don't really have to look for them. They'll find you.
They'll find you. Yes, they will.
We had an experience a few years back where we were ministering to a young man, and he sent us to Office Depot to pray for a woman who had a brain tumor.
Whoa.
And
I remember that.
We prayed for her.
Yeah.
And she was healed.
Yeah. I remember that. Yes. Amen.
She was healed. It was like, oh, praise God. Being obedient.
But you could have said, oh, you know what? We're busy today. We don't have time to go pray for. And when nothing's going to happen anyway. You could have had that attitude. But instead, you said, I'm going. And you went to Office Depot and found the woman.
That's right. And we prayed for her. I mean, we were right there in the store. And other people were listening. Other people were watching. It didn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
God was on the scene.
No, it doesn't matter. When God calls us to walk forward into this opportunity that is right in front of us, if we don't do it, how do we feel if we've missed that mark?
Oh, terrible.
I've missed terrible. It sometimes, and I don't feel good. What about you?
If God tells me to do something and I don't do it, I feel terrible.
Mm-hmm. It's all about obedience, guys. It's all about obedience. And we are blessed as we obey. And I love Isaiah 119. If you are willing and obey, you will
eat the best of the land.
Amen.
So talk to us about that, Nathan, before we do another song here.
Well, God promises to bless those that are obedient to his word, that are obedient to him.
Amen.
And if we are submission to God and we obey him, he does bless us.
Amen.
And amen. So therefore, you know, eat of the fat of the land, you're not want for anything.
Right. That's exactly right. You can get in on this conversation. The email's up here if you want to make a comment or ask a question. Pastor@bohmglobal.com still up. But you're right, Nathan. It's all about obedience. It's obedience. I love what Jesus said to, I know where it is. It's right here in Luke 7. His mothers and brothers in verse 19 of Luke 7 showed up, but couldn't get through to him because of the crowd. This is after he is telling the story of the sower that goes out to sow in Luke 8. It's Luke 8. Did I say 7? Yeah. I mean 8. Okay, and his mothers and brothers showed up because they heard, boy, well, what's going on over there? That Jesus is really, some wild things are happening. Look in verse 21. My mother and brothers are the ones who hear and do God's word, because they sent a message to him. Your mothers and brothers want you to come out, you know. And he goes, wait a minute. My mothers and brothers are the ones that obey God's word. Obedience is thicker than blood. This is what happened with this woman who's crawling up here to touch the edge of Jesus' robe. And she's doing it out of obedience, thinking if I can just touch that part of his prayer shawl,
right,
I'll be healed. Go ahead.
And she was.
And she was.
Imagine that. And again, Jesus says, your faith has saved you.
Right.
You know, he uses a specific word there. Not your faith has healed you.
Right.
Your faith has saved you. It goes. He's telling her, I've healed you physically. I've healed you spiritually. I've healed you emotionally. Your faith has saved you.
Yeah. Complete
all the way
package.
Around.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Mm-mm-mm. Daughter, you took a risk. This is part of our vision right here. This verse, verse 48 of Luke 8. Jesus said to this woman, daughter, you took a risk trusting me. Now you're healed and whole. Live well. Live blessed.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, praise God. Listen to this song by Casting Crowns, The Well. It's track 6, Cedric. Mm.
Leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, you just ain't gonna listen.
when nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, as you are. When your last prayer is spoken, just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. That you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me, 'cause you come to the well. Yeah, it's all who thirst will thirst no. All who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind and come to the well. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind.
Your pursuit of perfection.
Leave it all behind.
Your fear of rejection.
Leave it all behind.
Praise God. There are some of you out there right now that just need to come to the well. The living water, the river of life that we've been talking about today on the show, where Jesus invades your space and gets your attention, and you realize that you need him more than anything else in your life. I'm going to pray for you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you asking you to touch these hearts who have been listening today, or hearts that will listen later on our website. Lord, you are the great physician. You're the healer of our emotions. You're the healer of our past. You're the healer of our brokenness. You're the healer of our present. And the things that maybe we are doing that are just not pleasing to you. Lord, we pray for our listeners.
Yes.
We pray that you would just get a hold of each one of us in such a dynamic, life-changing way that we will turnaround from this sin of our past and repent before you and surrender in obedience to your plan for our lives. Lord, we call it out on the airwaves right now that there will be souls that are repenting before you, souls that are saying, God, I need you more than all this other stuff in my life or the things that bog me down. Lord, we pray for our listeners right now. We speak peace. We speak comfort, and we ask you, Lord, to do a work in each person's heart today.
Yes, Lord.
We pray this together in agreement, Pastor Jim and Nathan and I, and we agree right now that souls are being changed by the words and the music of this show today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Nathan, I go to you first. Talk to us.
Well, the best thing that ever happened to me in my life was finding Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.
Praise God.
Because, I can't imagine living without Him. I can't imagine what life would be like without Him.
Right.
I'm glad I don't have to imagine that.
Right.
Because He lives in my life right now, and He guides and directs me. And even though I go through rough times and hard times, and even though I go through rebellious times,
yes.
He never leaves me or forsakes me.
Yes.
He's always there with me, and I trust Him.
Yeah.
And I love Him. And I feel so blessed because so many times He does give me a new song.
Right.
You know? And I can sing it with all my heart.
Right.
And I know it's from Him, and I know it's to Him. And I know that He loves it.
He does, and we do. And we appreciate your ministry at Beacon of Hope all these years and just your keyboard and your just sing and all that you bring, the Spirit of the Living God. You know, that little chorus that I've been singing, we've been singing some, Spirit of the Lord is here. You know that one?
Mm-hmm.
Sing it, will you?
The Spirit of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. I can feel Him in the atmosphere. Ooh. Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. I can feel Him in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here.
Praise God.
Power of the Lord is here. I can feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The healing of the Lord is here.
Praise God.
The healing of the Lord is here.
Woo! Praise God.
I can feel it in the atmosphere. The healing of the Lord is here. The healing of the Lord is here.
Praise God. Woo, brother. That's great. There you go.
That's good stuff.
That's great stuff. Pastor Jim, give us some final words, and Nathan, I'll come back to you in a minute for a word.
Well, just for anyone who would be listening, submission is the key.
It is.
And just... You know, we've talked about all different aspects of that, but you know what Nathan said really kind of stuck. You know, if you want to be happy in your walk, it's a submitted walk.
That's
the only way. And I've been saved over 40 years, and I can look back and just be in total agreement with that. That the best times, the happiest times, the most fulfilling times is when I'm doing what I know God wants me to do.
Amen.
When He wants me to do it.
Amen. Nathan, final word. You got a few seconds.
Well, I just praise God for Mother's Day, and I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all those mothers that are listening to the show today.
Mm-hmm.
Be blessed.
Right.
Be blessed. God is here. God loves you. He cares about every aspect of your life, and He wants to be in your life.
Amen.
So just open your heart and let Him in and begin a new life, a new walk with Him. Jesus.
Praise God. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you, Pastor Jim. We love being with you every single week. You can actually go to our website, usually Monday afternoon after a show on Sunday. The show is up there on our website, thanks to our wonderful engineer, Cedric, and our webmaster, Maxine, up in Georgia. Those shows are there. They stay on until Jesus comes. So they're up there. Go and listen. And it's a great teaching tool. You can invite your friends and family to listen to these shows and acquaint them with the ministry at Beacon. If you are in our area and you don't have a church that you go to, we welcome you to Beacon of Hope Ministries Sunday morning at 10:30 worship service. Powerful, anointed time, great music. God moves in our lives every single Sunday. We never know what He's going to do, but I can tell you that the healing power of God moves.
Good.
It's always good. Wednesday night Bible study is very interactive. I don't know about you guys, but I love Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. We sit around tables. We bring dinner from so many people come straight from work. We welcome you. 5:30 prayer meeting now. It's an earlier time. Any of you can join us. 5:30 prayer time. On Wednesday night around the altar in the sanctuary. Then we move to the Bible study room for our interactive study beginning at 7. And we are out by 8:30, so we welcome you on Wednesday night. And of always, this show every Sunday, 3 o'clock, Pastor Jim, Nathan, Pastor Marcia saying, God bless you. It's not far to Jesus, dear one. We'll see you right here next Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. God bless you.
Loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and He will lead you safely to His side. There's no
Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay, WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.